was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for watching us on twitch.tv/abrog87. You can also find us on YouTube. Just search for the Sports Brewery. You'll find the most recent stuff on there. Also, podcasting, obviously, that's the path we started like 12 years ago. Is that actually 12 years ago? That's crazy.
Been a while with like a
10-year break in between. But that's a little small hiatus. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. All of the things. Speaking of small hiatuses, King not going to be here probably. So he might drop in at some point. We don't really know what's going on. We know he's like alive because he answered texts, but we don't really know why he's not here right now. But we're just going to like power through and just do the podcast anyway. So, the big news this week for like in our world is signing day. It was like a ball sandwich. It's like one ball was fucking balls, man, was Dante Moore decommitting and going to UCLA. And then the meaty middle of the sandwich was the fucking signing day itself, where Oregon flips people left and right. They get this amazing class. And then the other ball on the other end was Peyton Bowen decommitting today. So Peyton Bowen, like a fascinating story where he is committed to Notre Dame for a very long time. On signing day, flips to Oregon, does the whole hat thing. He's got his mom sitting next to him. He's got a group of people in front of him who are fully expecting him to go to Notre Dame. Picks up the Notre Dame hat, puts it on his head. He's like, nah, that doesn't feel right. Puts it down, puts on the Oregon head. He's like, yeah, sco Ducks and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, people in front of him, like the crowd who came to watch him, were like, oh, like literally disappointed. And his mom sitting next to him like, what? No, you're not. And so then today he decommits from Oregon, ends up signing with Oklahoma. And of course, you know, it is what it is. And then Oklahoma. So like King actually shared this in our Discord, which, by the way, Sports Brewery on Discord. It's great. It's fun. Get in there. He shared a link to it earlier where Oklahoma women's soccer shared a picture of Bowen's girlfriend. That's it. Just a picture with a heart next to it. And it's like, okay, we get the message. It's like the girlfriend has zero losses. You know what I mean? Like if a girlfriend's going to a place, dude's probably going to go to that place. And that ended up happening. Oklahoma flipped.
Yeah, I assume you're thinking what I'm thinking, where he picked the Ducks kind of just spur of the moment kind of thing almost.
It felt like it, right? Like from everything. So Oregon was a player in it. Like it was Oregon and Oklahoma closing on Notre Dame. Notre Dame had his commitment for a really long time. And everybody was saying if anybody's going to flip him, it's going to be Oklahoma. And so when he chose Oregon, everybody's like, oh, okay, shit. Like get that bag. Like let's go. Whatever the street is that Oregon's NIL program has or whatever. Like, oh man, the bag man for the Ducks got another one. And it's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, like the actual plan actually happened. And he apologized for it today. He was like, I could have handled this way differently. Yeah, no shit. Like you handled that really poorly for a lot of reasons, but you're also like an 18-year-old kid. So what the fuck?
You can't expect them not to do dumb shit. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, honestly.
Yeah. And by the way, like on the 18-year-old kid note, like every single time I see one of these posts from them where they make their commitment and they sign and do their thing and it says respect my decision in big bold letters, like you're an indecisive child. Like don't tell me to respect your decision. Like, you know, go to Oklahoma. I don't really care. But it's like, come on, man. No, you can be bossy about me respecting your decision when you changed your decision three times in the last like 2 days. Like, come on. Well,
I did have a feeling that, you know, there was no lock that he was coming to Oregon after that flip.
Yeah.
Especially when you got mom and pussy involved, it sounds like now. That's a And you know Oklahoma was giving the bag as well, too. He wasn't, you know.
That's a lethal combination. It's all three of those things.
You can't beat those three. I'm sorry.
You cannot. You cannot. Booble says, respect these nuts. Respect these nuts.
So, you know, it is unfortunate because he is a highly rated.
I'm not going to say that to an 18-year-old kid, but you can, no. Booble. Booble says that.
Yes. We don't say that.
Sorry. You
but it does suck because, you know, the defense in this class was turning out real nice with him involved.
Yo,
there.
Five-star safety? Like, yeah. Yeah, and they got DJ's brother, five-star edge rusher. Like, I mean, it's still a nasty class, by the way. Like, it's ridiculous.
Where does he drop us to now? Because we were fifth, I believe, with him.
So it was like sixth that they were in the composite, and they dropped to 11th, which is still 11th, really good. Yeah. So it was the second best Oregon class ever, behind like the 2019 class or something like that, and now it drops back to 11th. Again, it's still an amazing class. You have two 5-stars. You got DJ Yu's brother, who's a 5-star. Then Jurion Dickey still signs. He's a 5-star wide receiver. And by the way, 5-star wide receiver suddenly working out for Oregon with Troy Franklin. So maybe that might actually be good. Maybe he'll actually do something with, you know, Bo Nix coming back. Who knows? But also, 14 4-stars. Fucking 14. And that doesn't include the transfers or the JUCO guy, because they just got a JUCO lineman today. Like, Oregon rebuilt their offensive line with transfers. Like,
did two hit the portal, and then was it three?
So who left
graduated?
Oregon?
Yes.
No, they were all graduating. Like Bass and Locke and Forsyth all graduated.
Powers Booth, though, he hit the portal.
He did, yeah.
And I thought another one hit the portal. Like, there was a good chunk that was just gone all of a sudden. So
it was right tackle, right guard, center. Yeah, Powers Johnson was left guard, right?
Yeah. He kind of moved around he was. Okay.
So those guys were graduating or leaving, whatever. And so now coming back, you have like Connerly. Connerly was like a 5-star offensive tackle who played a whole bunch. You have Harper coming back. And now you got the new guys. You got the dude from Rhode Island. You got the transfer from Texas, who's like a 2 or 3 year starter at Texas or something like that. And then they just got the number one JUCO guy to send in his letter today. Like, that just happened like an hour or two ago. And so that's three guys who are going to start this year for Oregon who signed in the last day.
Was there not a second Alabama guy that was an offensive lineman?
By the way, so I have, let me see if I can pull this up. I can actually pull this up on the screen. Let's see. So I'm going to switch to this one. And for the people watching us, you can actually see what I'm talking about. Ski, if you can pull up like the chat on your phone or something. Yeah. Or not the chat, but the screen on your phone. Yeah, okay, fair enough. So it's a Johnny Cornelius is the dude from Rhode Island. You have Junior Angelau, who's the dude from Texas. So the Alabama dudes were not linemen, but they were, you know, big time transfers, like Trayshawn Holden, the wide receiver. He's the guy you were talking about, who was essentially going to replace Thornton.
Yeah.
Kyrie Jackson is a corner from Alabama, and then Justin Jacobs is a linebacker. So they're all going to play immediately, man. Like, George Silva was the guy who actually turned in his thing today, the JUCO guy. So it's like, you know, any fear we sort of had about what Oregon was going to do offensive line wise, like even just offensively, period, they're great. Offense is going to be fine. So now that leaves us with the huge question mark, you know, that was last year and is going to go into this year too, is the defense, man. And it's,
well, I the problem now is, with as much as we hated Mario's, you know, play game management and all that shit, never worried once really about the offensive line with him. But now, you know, his guys are pretty much gone. I think was Connerly his guy?
He was, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, so this is the question mark now is, offensive line now. I mean,
they replace him. That's what you do with the transfer portal, by the way. You get starters. Like, you don't get like depth. I mean, you can get depth guys, whatever. But if you're going to go to the transfer portal, you're going to get a guy that's going to play right away. And that's what Dan Lanning does, by the way. Like, you saw it last year. I mean, he gets Bucky Irving, and everybody's like, well, why? Why did he get Whittington? Why did he get Bucky Irving? And they both fucking played. They were the guys who played. He's like, we're not bringing them in to be backups. Like, they're going to play because we don't like the guys we have now. And that
you think that was, you think that was like preemptive with Cardwell?
This dude's going to Cal now, man.
Well, he's gonna play now at least.
Yeah, I guess. Or did that Orr guy? Is he still there?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
But
he played good for two games.
Yeah, I did like from the portal and this class is that Lanning really kind of hit the big problem areas.
Yeah.
You know, their new punter. I think there was a long snapper in there. There was a 4-star backup who's I guess going to be third string QB now too. Because you need to get that third guy on the depth. Well, I guess I was a little confused with DJ's brother. What's his name again?
You know what? I didn't even list the special teamers. Because you want to know why? You want to know some bullshit? They're not on 24/7 Sports like commitment list. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, long snapper and punter.
So add them to the list. Like Oregon got 35 new players for next year. 35. So long snapper, punter, and kicker were included in that too.
Yep.
So like you were saying, they address some very obvious needs in special teams.
And then, like I said, third, and then that quarterback.
So Mateo
Uyagalele.
Mateo U.
We'll say
Matt U.
M-U.
Matt
U.
I like Matty U. Yeah. We'll call him Matty U. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. Yeah, but he's the big one, man. Like, he's the... So you know, the thought is now you got to deal with their dad. Their dad's going to be in town on a regular basis, and he's going to be tweeting about your program on a regular basis. But, you know, that's fine.
Hey, that is 100% fine as long as he plays good. I mean, that's all that matters, right?
And high-profile dads is not something that Oregon is averse to, you know? Like, big boy was around. Tony Dungy was around. Like, Oregon's fine.
Yeah, just wait if Ontario Smith's kid is a walk-on.
Oh, that's
and
right!
I'm, you know, not saying it yet, but, you know, Akili Smith, I think his son in, like, 2 years, I think, is eligible. Or three, I can't remember. I can't remember if he's a sophomore or junior right now, but...
He's going to come in and immediately start complaining about the culture.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not the same. Speaking of quarterbacks, though, they lost Dante Moore, but then they did pick up Austin Novosad, who they flipped him from Baylor. And by the way, like, the fucking Baylor fans absolutely fucking imploded when he signed with Oregon. Like, Baylor really, really wanted this guy for some reason. I mean, I look at him, he's Butterfield. Like, you know, he's like, he's skinny, he's not super athletic. I mean, he's a 4-star quarterback. Oregon gets...
Do you really get butthurt over 4 stars?
I'm saying Oregon gets like 30 4-star quarterbacks. Like, what are we talking about here? Dante Moore is fucking elite athleticism. He starts right away for Chip Kelly. Like, I totally understand why he went there, but
it's got, I mean, Chip got a transfer portal guy in at QB.
He got Matzeval. He got Matzeval too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it's a guarantee that he's starting from day one.
Man, I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
I mean, you never know with how kids come in looking from high school, but
yeah.
Usually those guys rated that high are usually starting it in.
This fucking comment from Booble, dude. Of course Baylor fans reacted that way. They don't like the word no. Jesus. Jesus.
I mean, it's very well done.
Okay, so WCP says, Uyangalele. 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 All right, we got it.
But I think with that quarterback, I think he's on the, he was on the same high school team, was that big cowboy running back. You see the picture of that guy?
No. Wait, so you're talking about,
there's a picture,
you're talking about the UCLA guy?
No, at Oregon. Oh, I think some guy they got is his like teammate was, he's on the Duck team, I'm pretty sure, is a big white running back.
Oh, the dude who scored in like the spring game and he scored in the preseason or whatever.
I cannot tell you his name.
I know who you're talking about because he made like that really sick touchdown run against like one of the D2 schools or whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, look him up. Look him up. So Oregon, you know, sort of looking through. They got a couple of running.
There it is.
Okay.
Preston Alford.
I got nothing on Preston Alford. Never heard of
him. Yeah, from Dripping Springs to, I don't know. I just saw a picture with him.
Dripping
He's just a
Springs?
Big, Dripping Springs, Texas, baby.
Yeah, you can be from Dripping Springs, but you don't got enough. You don't got as much drip as fucking Dan Lanning had with his cigar yesterday. Do you see that shit?
Oh,
man, that's some.
Yeah,
it's pretty gangster.
That hits
man.
A little different when you. It hits a little different when you lose that kid like 10 hours later.
Lose Peyton Bowen, yeah, yeah.
Kind of feels like Giants fans when you got Carlos Correa locked in, then all of a sudden at like 2 a.m., all of a sudden he's a Met and nobody knows how. What happened?
The Giants are like the number one leverage baseball team. Like, look what I can get from the Giants. What are you going to give me? And then they fucking get it. That situation is messed up, man. Because like,
well,
it's weird. It's weird because you understand why the Giants didn't move forward. You're like, okay, the physical, he didn't pass the physical. You don't want to throw $350 million at a guy who didn't pass a physical. But
12 years, too.
But are you telling me he's not going to play all 12 years and play all the time? Are you telling me there's something you saw in that physical significant enough to where he's not going to play? I don't buy
it. They didn't release it, but I believe they kind of sleuthed it out that it was something from when he was like 18 years old.
Well, it's like some injury laws. You're not allowed to.
No, but it was I think it's something along the lines of some injury he had when he was real young. That I don't know if whatever they saw in the physical that they didn't like, but they finally make a move and have like the Giants never do. These big contracts
they never
like
spend
this.
Money, yeah.
They're like you. They're the king of the 2 and 3 year deals. I think Buster Posey was like their biggest guy. He got like 6 year deal. That's it.
I think they gave one to Hunter Pence once too, or something. But
it could have been more than 5 years though too. But
no. So it was finally, a bargain.
You're a Giants fan. You're like, oh shit, we're finally like, we're legit now. We are putting in this big contract for a guy, and then. You lose him, and then not only do you lose him, but the Mets scoop him up within 6 hours of you losing him.
What's the number?
They don't care.
What's the number for the Mets now? It's like, so
what's their,
the full,
what's
the amount of
payroll?
Money, yeah, their payroll. It's like, is it legitimately like $750 million or something like that now?
Oh, I believe they are well over the luxury tax.
They're pulling up on $1 billion. Like, that's,
yeah.
We're talking about.
Hey, if you're. Luxury tax means nothing if the ownership is fine paying that like 90% tax you got to pay on it, which is insane.
Who owns them? $1 billion. Like, where the fuck are you getting $1 billion? Like, I know they're all billionaires, like the people who own major sports teams, but like
Steve Cohen.
Steve Cohen has $1 billion to spend on salaries? That's
he's worth $13 billion, so, and you know you're going to recoup a good chunk of that.
How?
Well,
doing what?
They fill the stands, baby.
You're the Mets.
Fill them up.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, did you not see that the Commanders? You know how they're going on the block. I think they had their first like batch of like sealed bids for them. I think it's. It might get to like $8 billion for the Commanders.
Yeah.
The Broncos just went for what, like 3.5 or 4 or something like that?
Yeah.
And they're going to like damn near double that for that franchise?
I guess. No, I guess so. I'm just saying.
It's kind of like.
I'm just saying like spending that money on salaries is insane. Booble says TV rights. Like, that much, though?
Yeah, there's, I mean, New York market.
I guess.
Like, the reason why the Yankees.
Well, that's the Yankees have their own network. Like,
yeah, they have the YES network.
The Mets don't. I'm just saying, man, like, spending $1 billion on your salary is fucking insane. Like, that's insane. And well, and when has that ever worked for the Mets? It's like,
well, it kind of just worked for the Dodgers. It used to work for the Yankees. I mean, you got to spend money.
I get it. Like, you got to spend money, but it's like the track record. The track record of the Mets and what they spend money on and who they spend it on. And
I mean, $50 million for 2 years $98 million for 2 years is going to Justin Verlander. Yeah. That's only 2 years though. You could eat, like I said, you could eat that payroll, that luxury tax fucking money for 2 years at least.
Yeah. WCP mentions it in the chat. It's like, now is the time when like franchises are being sold. It's weird. Cause the Suns were just sold too.
Suns were just sold. Yep.
Yeah. So he says $4 billion for the Suns.
Yeah. But those professional teams, like, they almost never go. It's almost like Packers fans trying to get season tickets. It's like 40 years, like, is like the wait list on season tickets. So when one comes up, I guess it doesn't matter what the cost is. You just got to go, right?
It doesn't matter what franchise it is. It doesn't matter how much you're asking for it. You just buy it. If you're going to buy one, you just got to buy whatever one's available. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, who knows when the next team's up? That's the thing. You never know. So, and it's only going to get more ridiculous, especially when like a legit team ever goes up for sale.
Yeah. If they ever do, that's the thing, is like the legit ones never do, because whatever, you know, they keep them in the family
usually.
Yeah, they keep them in the family. Exactly. It would take a really, so again, we talked about that with the Seahawks, right? And the Seahawks and the Blazers, it's like Jody Allen should not own these franchises, but she's never not going to own these franchises. It's like, even if Paul Allen says in his will, you can't keep the franchises, it's like, no, she's going to find a way to keep them. Because it's like, why would she not? And by the way, she sells the Seahawks? Like, she won't. But again, like, she sells the Seahawks? Like, $15 billion? Like, if we're talking about Washington at eight.
I mean, they're somewhat of a storied franchise. They've been around a while.
I'm just saying the fan base and the market for Seattle, I just think it's worth more, period. But,
well, it's worth whatever someone will pay.
Yeah.
That's how much it's worth.
Yeah. Contrite Axe 830. What up? Thanks for joining us, man. Oh, he's a new follower? Nope. We got a new follower. Name is Captain Crank My Hog. Thanks for following, Captain. You have found the right podcast. All right, let's go back to the Ducks, because I feel like we sort of like didn't talk about everything we should have. I think the big sort of takeaway from like signing day for me is the sort of reaction to the NIL stuff.
From Duck fans or just from everyone else?
No, like everybody else. Okay, both. Because there's a lot of non-poverty schools acting like poverty schools. You know what I mean? Like reacting to players signing places by saying, they just paid them, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's the game now. Like, you're supposed to be paying players now. That's part of it. If your infrastructure is not built with NIL in mind, you're fucking yourself. Like what? Like you? I saw USC fans talking shit about Oregon fans, or not Oregon fans. Oregon signing players. It's like, you're fucking USC. You're a private school. You have people throwing money at players, and you know the difference. You don't have to report it. Because you're a private school, so nobody ever has to know about it. Like, everything you do is under the table. By the way, Reggie Bush! Like,
I was going to say, you did this when it wasn't legal, too.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, that... USC fans could fucking eat shit for trying to complain at all for NIL stuff. But I don't understand, like you're saying, these schools that have money, this is how you level the playing field with Alabama and Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were kind of coming down on Mario in Miami because I think they had a pretty good class and they had guys that had money and like, hey, here's our booster. Here's, you know, $5 million. Go get these kids.
Yeah. The bag man for programs now is actually on the payroll. Like they're on the staff. They're on the, they're GoDucks.com has a profile page for Oregon's bagman, and they should, because he was one of the most valuable people in the fucking building. And there's no shame in that. Like the shame is if you're not playing the game right. Like if you're like, so by the way, like be Oregon State, get your 3 and 4 stars, like develop them, have a really great team. That's fine. That's your thing. That's great. But like, don't be mad. Like you're choosing to not play that game, and that's fine. Again, do your thing, but don't be don't be mad when Oregon does, because this is how Oregon does it. This is how Oregon is going to do it, and this is how like 75% of the rest of the country is going to be doing it.
And this goes back to exactly why they did not hire Wilcox, because Wilcox doesn't want to get in this game, does not at all.
This is how Oregon has to play it.
Everyone has to. If you want a chance to have a chance at the college football playoff, then you have to spend the money. You just have to. And the biggest, you know, USC fans saying shit, right? What's worse, him or Jimbo Fisher crying a fucking river? You had the number one class last year, Jimbo. You're trying to say that was just your great recruiting, not you paying millions of dollars in NIL money?
Yeah.
I mean, eat shit. USC fan, eat shit. Jimbo Fisher, eat shit. How about that?
Hey, King's in here.
Welcome, King.
Welcome, King.
Fucking hell, man.
Is it the frozen tundra?
I honestly don't know. So I was at like 11 or 7:15. I logged on to Discord. I saw your lovely avatar. And then like 7 minutes later, Ski logged on and I went and everything died.
Oh, it was like a technical issue. Okay.
I don't even on my phone. Couldn't even do it on my phone.
I'm saying we're a little bit worried just because it's the ice apocalypse outside. By the way, everybody, like, stay inside. Watch our stream. Spread the word. Don't go outside right now if you're in Oregon. It's treacherous. All right, well, good. Glad you're okay at least. You want to drop some bombs on these non-poverty schools acting like poverty schools? You caught us at the perfect time, by the way.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So what were you guys talking about?
We just got done talking about USC acting like a poverty school, which is just ridiculous. And like in school and, you know, fans and schools complaining about NIL. We had not talked about Dabo yet. Dabo with a classic Dabo play.
So I got I'll go on the poverty school things real quick and then go to Dabo. I fucking love. So USC, we all know they got like, it's LA. They got money. No shit, right? Okay. Them crying poor over NIL is funny. But SC doesn't really advertise NIL stuff. Like, they're not loud about it.
And they don't have to because they're a private school. I mentioned that too. And by the way, what did they do last year? How did they build their fucking team last year?
But what fucking makes me laugh from the gallows or the bellows or whatever of my heart is UW. Because when NIL was starting to become a thing, Washington Fan Online was like, we got Boeing, we got Microsoft, we got Costco, we got Barnes & Noble, we got Starbucks, we got this guy, we got that guy. Hey, have fun, you poor schools. And they're like, hey, we finished 29th in the nation in recruiting. No one gives a fuck about sailgating, UW fans. All the reasons, like, we're like, and it's kind of applicable, but people in Oregon will be like, what do you mean you don't like living here? We can go up to the top of a snowy mountain and ski down. We can get Chinook salmon when it's 37 degrees out. college football players, they don't fucking care about that.
I was gonna say,
and
who,
hey, UW fans,
that? Who says that? Like white guys in their 50s,
not even in their 50s, about mid 30s, that starts creeping in.
Yeah.
And UW fans are like, well, I mean, we have sailgating. Yep, you do have like 35 people that are millionaires, essentially, that drive a boat to your game. 35 people. Like, I got to be honest, the guy that Oregon flipped from Long Beach Poly today or yesterday probably doesn't care about riding a boat from one side of a sound to the other when it's 34 degrees and raining. I'm just being honest. These bowl schools are connected by white people shit.
Yeah.
It's 100% true. Just admit it, Washington fans, and don't cry poor. And what I love is, because I've kind of been off and on Twitter. Yesterday I was on Twitter for far too fucking long, and more than I had been in 6 weeks combined.
It's sort of the time you're on Twitter, right? Is signing day shit?
Yeah, I mean, you had to be. You know what I mean? You just kind of had to be. And it was so... it was so funny seeing Washington fans be like, well, accruing talent. Whatevs. Like, okay. Yeah. You were just telling us they paid for all the recruits. We just spent 2 years telling us you had all these NIL collectives and free samples and at Costco were going to lure people. So now that they're not, okay. You don't want to know what? You might be better than Oregon. Maybe. But generally, in the rule for college football is that talent accrual generally wins out.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not sure caught it, but I said it to compete for a college football playoff, you have to be spending the money now.
No. There is a hardline stat that no team has won a national championship since like 2008 when rankings really became a thing without either two top 10 classes or a top 12 and a top 5. Like, you have to recruit. Like, you're not with Washington. You're not sniffing a national championship with your number 29 recruiting class. You're just not. You can do the air raid stuff all you want, which you used to hate and now you love. But
right. I thought that was a problem too before. It's like, oh, you guys just throw the ball, right? You're up tempo, gimmicky. See,
I did not know that. Maybe I mentioned it last week. I can't remember because it was like about 10 days I figured it out. I didn't know that Michael Penix and Bo Nix threw the same amount of touchdown passes this year, 27.
How many more throwing?
And Bo Nix threw the ball 370 times, and Michael Penix threw it even 500.
Yeah.
It's a big difference there. You know, you can spread stuff out, but, you know, efficiency.
It's the offense.
9 or 10 rushing touchdowns as well that could have been passing touchdowns.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah. Sorry to derail you guys. I know I'm
not at all, man.
Way too late. So.
I literally wanted you to talk about that, and you came in at the right time.
I literally had props. I had sparklers. I had a crap. Well, I got rid of that when that Bowen guy decommitted because I had a cigar. So then I was going to do snow stuff with goggles and gloves and goddamn. I don't know what the hell was going on with Discord or my internet. I don't know. But
so because Dan Lanning's,
49 minutes later, I'm here.
Because it might be cold outside, but you ain't as cold as Dan Lanning was yesterday. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And boy, those mentions on the Dan Lanning stuff. People were upset.
I mentioned this in the Discord too. Like, he had to send out a text. So first of all, he's sitting in his den, got the stogie, lights it up, takes a short like 5 to 10 second video of him smoking the cigar. He sent that video to someone on Oregon's digital team, and was like, "Hey, I need you to dub 'It Was a Good Day' by Ice Cube over this and then release it on my Twitter." That's a thing that Dan Lanning did yesterday. I love that. Like, you want to know somebody who gets the fucking game? It's that dude. Dan Lanning understands how this shit works and understands what 18-year-old kids like. And 18-year-old kids like you smoking a fucking cigar, bragging the fact that they just went to your school. And it's like, hey, and other, you know, this is the first signing day, by the way. We still got another signing day coming up. This is the first one. Any prospective guys still out there? You see that kind of swag and you see like the pedigree that he has and you see that Oregon can get you money and NIL deals? Yo. Like we give Dion a lot of credit for the swagger he has. Like, yeah, that shit.
His recruiting class was like 59 to the nation.
Saying that's your Lanning did yesterday, man.
What's a bigger baller move? To actually, with the cigar that he lit that motherfucker inside.
Sure did. I mean,
the cigar smoke, that shit lingers in the house.
Yeah.
Just absorbs into the walls and wood.
Oh, so what you're saying is the bigger baller move is not so much smoking it and releasing the video, but smoking it in his house.
In his house. Like, it's like, I don't give, I'll buy another house. How about that?
There's no way his wife is cool with that. There's no
like,
way.
These 18-year-old kids, they're going to buy me a new house here in 5 years. Or 5 years. No 2 years. Let's be real. 2 years, not 5 years.
And it might not,
not,
be,
gonna be, here
and it might not, not even be in his team.
This is not the biggest house Dan Lanning will live in for the rest of his life. Nope.
Okay, so by the way, the Pauly guy you mentioned was Dalen Austin, who was the corner who flipped from LSU. So that was another
flip, right?
Yeah, we talked about so you lose Bowen on defense, but you do pick up a lot of really good players, man. And so
the Bowen loss. Not that he was a real loss because you saw the video, you were like, because the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, man, his mom is not happy.
Yeah,
his dad looked fine, but his mom was not happy.
You mentioned that, like, mom and people sitting in front of him who he announced it to. They were pissed off.
And then the next time I watched it, I heard a sympathetic, like, I was like, oh, yeah, he is.
What are you doing that for?
Okay, if the audience is publicly, like, awing. The mom, okay, yeah, it ain't.
He's about to have a very serious conversation with the people to his left and right.
Did you guys talk about the weird Oklahoma tweet about
the girlfriend tweet?
Yeah.
I said,
I thought...
You're never going to beat mom and pussy at Oregon.
Whoa, easy. She's 17.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oklahoma?
Did not know that.
That's what I was going to say.
Whoa.
Look, she's not in college yet.
Okay, sorry. So that was a photoshopped picture?
Her on a recruiting trip.
Okay.
I was under the impression that she was like a sophomore. She's not even there. Which makes it even weirder.
Let us walk back about 2 minutes of the podcast if we can.
No, that makes it like I was like, oh, that's kind of an ice burn. Okay. And then I was raised like, what? I thought she was a soccer player. Like, she was a player. She's still in high school and they're doing that? Yuck.
The real question now is he getting her onto that team now? Was that like, hey, you come to Oklahoma, we'll get your girlfriend? Like,
no, she's like been long committed to Oklahoma.
Yeah, all right.
That's why, like from stuff I read, that's why I thought she was there and playing. Because they talked about her in the Oklahoma blurbs, like she was there. She is not there. She is in high school. That tweet is fucking weird. And the football account, like official football account, like replying to it with a handshake, also fucking weird. Because we know what they're saying by that. Like,
yes,
she's in high school. That's weird.
Booble says, "What if Oregon soccer flips the girlfriend?"
Ooh.
We're gonna have a portal situation next year where he's. should she be worried about all this flipping? Like he's the least committed person in the history of
committed to her though. Committed to her though.
Is he?
I mean, he's there.
That's what
he's
I'm saying. Maybe she should start asking some questions. I'm just saying.
I'm not telling you what to think. I'm just asking you.
I'm just asking the questions.
Just asking you questions.
All right. Do you have any like comments on? So we decided to start calling. Was it Matt U or Matty U? Mateo U.
Matt U.
Matt U. You got anything to say on him? We talked about him earlier.
I loved in the last like week just seeing blurbs from mainly USC, a little from Ohio State, where they're like, yep, lazy, no passion, doesn't try, doesn't care enough, not a soft guy, but a nice guy.
Isn't that the exact same things they talked about, said about Thibodeau?
Yes.
Almost verbatim of what they...
There are two positions in football where I get a little uneasy with some of the stuff, and it's edge rusher and quarterback when either one of them have melanin. Because it's... You get anyone with a little bit of color who can sling the ball or rush the passer, and they're like, well, does he really love the sport?
Yeah.
What about his motor? I'm not saying he can't read a defense or an offense, but is it just athletic ability that he can turn off and on? It's consistent, and it's just a little weird. And like you said, Ski, that was the Kayvon thing. Even like 3 weeks into the season, and now everyone's like, oh yeah, Kayvon's a game wrecker.
Like, yeah. They said the exact same thing about Lamar Jackson when he was going in the NFL.
Just kind of motors a little off.
They weren't saying about Mahomes. Mahomes is never getting that fucking shade thrown at him.
No, his mom votes for Trump, so.
He already had the votes. Stop the count.
Yeah.
Okay. You have any, like, we're pretty much ready to move on from recruiting. Do you have any final thing, King?
No, move on.
Anything you want to mention? Okay, cool.
I would just say that USC, how the hell are you finishing like 15th in the nation?
Yeah. Gross. It's almost impressive.
Ooh, ugh, yuck. Have fun in the Big Ten.
So something we did mention a little bit earlier is Oregon has basically just rebuilt their entire roster. So like they lost a bunch of guys in the portal, you know, which is fine. That shit just happens now. But we're talking about they have 32 new players in this class, just from high school dudes, portal transfers, and no, it's 35 because of the special teamers. So 35 new players as of right now, and then we have another signing day to go. So just be ready, like Oregon's, like with the exception of Oregon's offense, skill positions, because the offensive line is going to be essentially totally new, other than a couple of guys. The team is going to be completely different. So just be ready for that.
So I'll say one more thing before we move off of recruiting. Did you guys watch the Vegas Bowl at all on Saturday?
Watch
King. Yeah, I watched.
Was that Oregon State or Washington State? I forget who was.
Beavs and Gators.
That was okay. Beavs and Gators.
Okay. So I watched 20 minutes off and on total. But in the second quarter, they were talking about Florida, and they were saying, I believe the number was 42. There were 42 players who had played down, like had played this year, that had either transferred, opted out, portaled, you know, whatever. And I'm like, holy, my brain is not used to 42 players just not there for a bowl game.
You could barely, you know, fill a team for some of these bowls with these teams.
And that's the thing is, then I remembered that last year during the Alamo Bowl, like James Crepia saying, like tweeting out that technically, because Oregon suited up some players that were never going to play, and then they had a couple of, you know, not catastrophic, but, you know, injuries. Then the second half, Oregon was at like 47 or 48 players, which is technically below the 50 you need to start a game. Bowl games are wild. And good for Oregon State for finishing 10-3. They now have three double-digit wins in their 142 years of football. They just passed Mark Helfrich in double-digit wins in their career. Good for them.
You know what's wild? You know what's wild about the portal too is that players can join the team now. So
yeah,
like,
it's very bizarre.
Yeah, so they like if they're even high school kids and they want to enroll early, they can join the team right now during bowl prep, and they can actually practice with the team during bowl prep. They can't play, but they can practice with the team right now. That's fucking crazy.
I think one of the high school kids.
It's crazy how much the shit has changed, and even like 2 years, it's insane.
And it's you have to adapt fast for these schools.
Yeah, you do. Again, that's why all these people who are like acting like poverty schools, right? Like fucking Matt Rhule. It's like you're gonna look really fucking stupid next year and the year after that when you're doing the exact same shit. You're just behind the eight ball. So
well, and again, last thing before I move on, but it hit me in today. I was like, oh my god. The guys that declared today or yesterday, right? 2022-2023 class. These are guys that were freshmen when COVID hit and they, you know, their freshman year in high school vanished. And then to whatever degree their sophomore year was disrupted, kind of depended on where you lived. But I'm like, holy fuck, like freshman COVID kids are now have signed. Where did the time go?
Yeah.
I just remember it feels like injection of bleach in the lungs and ivermectin was not that long. It was. It yeah. really, really was.
Yeah.
But holy shit.
Seems like yesterday.
Well, old Sleepy Joe's term's halfway done.
I know. Jesus. All hail DeSantis apparently soon.
Speaking of what doesn't seem like yesterday is when Cam McCormick started at Oregon, which was a literal decade ago.
I was saying we were almost still in high school when he was started with the Ducks.
What I don't get about the Cam, you guys saw that graphic.
So everyone, if you have not heard, he was granted a ninth year of eligibility.
But how was he granted a ninth year in his seventh year? That's the thing I don't get. He just finished his seventh, so of course I get his eighth. But how did he give him a ninth?
I thought you only got one medical hardship.
No,
he
got like
three?
Four. Yeah, he got like four of them, dude.
Yeah.
So
that's good for him.
So he might come back next year. Who knows? Like if he doesn't, then it's Ferguson and Herbert, and those are all of a sudden the four super legit talented tight ends you had turns into two, which is fine. You know, Herbert was I don't know, we'll see, but obviously Ferguson's a beast. But anything.
Dude, yeah. They lost one to the portal, didn't they?
Matt Tavau.
Yeah.
So,
but I saw someone throw up I was like, okay, I understand why he left. They threw up his amount of, God damn you. Bless you for charting this shit. They threw up his snaps, his targets, and his catches compared to Ferguson. And they weren't quite equal. So I get it, Montevideo. Like, I wouldn't want to block in proportion either.
Well, I've been saying I think Ferguson's an NFL-level talent at tight end.
And on that note, like, one of my quibbles, like fair quibbles, because you can nitpick specific plays. Dillingham was really, like, he spread the ball out too much, I thought.
It was don't like throw it to Ferguson. Keep Thornton, maybe if you don't.
Yeah, throw it to Ferguson.
He was trying to keep guys, man.
At the end.
Yeah.
At the end.
But like even like the late. Running back rotation. It was like we've been Whittington. Why is he the number one back in the last 3 weeks? Like Bucky's fine. Like he's healthy.
Well, remember with Matavau too, he did like an end around touchdown run from the 1 yard line for him just for the fuck of it. He's like, we could easily quarterback sneak this in for and get Bo his 80th touchdown run, but let's give it to Maliki and try to keep him on the roster. Yeah. Speaking of not on the roster anymore, Noah Sewell's gone officially.
Yeah. Good for him. Okay, yeah. I mean,
I don't know where he's going to play, what position, but
he should not, but
he might be one of the only guys where the change of hash marks does him well in the NFL.
Maybe.
Because he cannot play in the skinny hash mark. I mean, he can't play on third downs in the NFL anyway. Like I think we said on the Discord chat, NFL linebacker, it's like Micah Parsons is now a linebacker. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where 10 years ago, he's a strong safety. Like he's Eric Berry. And if you look back at Eric Berry, that guy could not cover a damn thing.
Nope.
He was so bad in pass coverage. But we were a dumb football world back then.
Got the occasional like lucky interception too, to get him in a Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
See the new age like Urlacher, you know, moving a safety to linebacker. that should be happening more. Because like I said, you need that speed now at linebacker. It's that side-to-side movement. And the problem is you can't really reverse that. You can't really move to safety too often nowadays. So like I said, I don't know where he plays.
I still think Sewell could be – he can stick in the NFL if he's never expected to play in coverage. He's just a down – he's just north-south, like, which isn't the game. I totally get it, but
– That will get abused if he's in there for a long period of time.
Yeah, I mean, like –
it will get him in coverage somehow.
You know, a year plus ago, he was a borderline top 10 pick in mock drafts. And then coming into this year, he was the end of the first round in the all the mock drafts. And now
did he have any knee? He was shoulder injury, wasn't he? Like neck, like
shoulders and stingers and
yeah, he wasn't any knee. It almost feels like he lost a step between this year and last year. That's what you expect out of Flo to lose a step, but I don't remember being that big of a liability in coverage.
It could be I'm curious how much of that was Tosh, not knowing how to call a defense and putting them in horrible positions. But
that's highly a possibility.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And we have talked a lot about his limitations and what he can't do. Like truly, like wish him the best. Like I really hope he lands on a team and is able to make a roster and just have a. Like an 8-year NFL career. I really hope that for him. I don't think it's going to happen. I really do hope that for him, though.
I think he'll be there. I think he could at least stick around for 8 years. He'll be a special team killer.
Yeah. Just blow people up on special teams.
Yeah.
Again, usually you got to be quicker for that, too, though. So I don't know.
He's fast going forward.
He just can't turn.
Just can't cut.
Okay.
Cut and move. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
Okay, so we should move on to something else. How about the Colts blowing the biggest lead in NFL history? No, you don't want to talk about that?
I knew it was happening before it happened.
Yeah.
First series or last series of the second half, they have the ball inside the 15, like 3rd and 5. They just run the ball right up the middle, not even trying to score. Now, Matt Ryan thought the game was in the bag already. He's going to set up field goals. We're just going to run the ball in the second half. I knew it was done.
We were texting each other, weren't we? Where I was saying how wild it was that the 49ers were about to get the 2 seed in the NFC. It's like, man, they got a 3rd-string quarterback playing, and they're about to be the 2 seed. How the fuck did that happen? And then it's like, oh, Colts, no, don't do this, Colts. And they fucking did it. What were your thoughts at halftime? That's what I want to know. Like, what were you thinking? No, at halftime, 33-0 lead. What were you thinking?
Yeah, it was a toss-up that they're going to win.
It's amazing. The biggest blown lead in NFL history. It's amazing. Matt Ryan, a part of the top two, right? He was the Falcons quarterback against the Patriots, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Matt.
And look what happened now. Matt Ryan's got benched again.
Does he ever start?
Oh, yeah. His career is done.
Yeah, he's done. He's toast.
Crazy. So do you have anything else to say on that game other than just like pure depression and sadness?
I wasn't even that depressed because I saw it coming from a mile away.
Okay.
See, what's funny? He says that, and I remember, I can't remember what year it was, 2014, I think, Colts, Chiefs, wild card round, Chiefs are up 28-0, and then all of a sudden it's 28-3, and they do a stupid turnover, and I go, and my wife had just given birth to my beautiful child. Like, literally, like, we came home from the hospital that day, and she had to get something from the pharmacy, and I went, I know how this is ending. I can just feel it in my fucking bones. So I went to the pharmacy, and all of a sudden it's went from 28-0 to 28-17. And I'm driving home, and I get home, and it's like 28-24. And I went, yeah, I think I made the right decision. And I turned it off. And They blew a 20.
Was that an Alex Smith?
Alex year? Smith, Andy Luck. Yep. Rookie year, like second year Andrew Luck. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
We've all been there. Like that happens with Oregon all the time too. It's like, oh, this doesn't feel safe, does it? Oh, they scored again. All right. Well, okay.
Yeah. Good on you, Ian, Alex Smith. Way to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
So
kept throwing it out of bounds.
The Matt Ryan thing made me think because, and again, like I mentioned it, you know, the 49ers were going to be the 2 seed with their third string quarterback. They're not now. Thank you, Colts. But they were going to their third string quarterback, Brock Purdy. And that led me to want to ask the question about who you would rather have. Brock Purdy, who has played 3.5 games in his entire NFL career, or the quarterbacks I will list to you. So I know Ski, your segment is keep or kick. I'm gonna hijack that a little bit here, just with a couple of quarterbacks, and then we can lead into your thing.
Fair enough.
So Brock Purdy, his last 3 games, he played like a quarter earlier in the season, threw an interception. It was like whatever, garbage time. Last 3 games, 67%, 416 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. So pretty typical 49ers quarterback. And so I have a list of quarterbacks who are I avoided the it's the ratings. So the quarterback rating, I avoided the top 15 because top 15, you're like, okay, they're a sure thing. Obviously, I'd rather have that quarterback. So these are all quarterbacks outside of the top 15 in the NFL in quarterback rating.
Is this a quarterback I'd want on like the Colts? So
obviously King's going to keep Mahomes, but I'm just saying like keep or kick, which one? By the way, I think King froze.
Yes.
All right, so Ski, this is going to be you. Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Russell Wilson?
This Russell Wilson now?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have Brock Purdy.
Yeah, because we're not talking all-time rankings. Like, Russell Wilson, top 15 rating, whatever.
Right?
But
yeah.
Right now, you'd rather have Brock Purdy? Okay.
Yes.
So, obviously, Matt Ryan, that's a given. Would you rather have, so assuming he's not injured, would you rather have Brock Purdy or Matt Stafford?
Ooh, not on the Colts, because they can't block.
Okay. So, Stafford? Stafford or Purdy?
No, I take Purdy right now because the Colts offensive line can't. Stafford needs an offensive line to block for him to be good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question from Booble. Do you get Sierra as well? That's a good question. With the Russell Wilson one. Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Justin Fields?
Ooh, give me Fields.
Justin Fields? Just the athleticism?
Yes. He's at least improving right now.
I hear you.
So
he is. Okay, would you rather have Brock Purdy or Tom Brady?
Ooh. I'd still take TV.
Still take Brady? Man, he is.
Yeah.
He's throwing a shit ton of yards, but he is super bad.
The Buccaneers are just not a good team.
Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Taylor Heinicke?
I love Heinicke.
Love some Heinicke.
I would take Heinicke.
Love this. Would you rather have, so assuming he's not hurt again, Brock Purdy or Kyler Murray?
Oh, fuck Kyler. Murray just absolutely killed me this year in fantasy. Never again. I wouldn't even play Madden with Kyler Murray. Give me Purdy.
You wouldn't take Madden? Yes, you would. A quarterback who can run? Yes, you would.
Nope. I would not play with him. He'll get hurt somehow.
Speaking of quarterbacks who can run, would you rather have Brock Purdy or Lamar Jackson?
100% Lamar.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not even a doubt.
Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Jimmy G?
Purdy is just a younger Jimmy G, isn't he?
Jimmy G is 5th in the NFL in quarterback rating this year, by the way. Should be mentioned.
What would Purdy be if he had the number of yes.
maybe it's a Kyle Shanahan thing and has nothing to do with the quarterbacks at all. All right, well, let's do, I guess we're, it's just going to be you and me for the keeper kick. So
that hurts, because one of them is definitely geared fully towards King. So, all
right, well, maybe he'll hop back on here in a second.
All right, we'll start with keeper kick. Sunday ticket going to YouTube.
Ooh. So what's the alternative?
Keeping it as is.
Yeah.
On whatever dish.
I keep it. Oh no. Okay. So we're keeping it would be.
Yes.
Sunday,
so YouTube.
Sunday ticket on YouTube. Keep. Yeah. Put everything on YouTube. I fucking love YouTube.
I would agree too, except for I haven't watched a full football game, not the, you know, Sunday night, no, the primetime game. I just watch Red Zone now. So I don't get the whole thing of why you'd want to watch. Oh, power Wi-Fi outage.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Get it. At the ice. But yes, I'm with you. Keep it. Keeper kick Trevor Bauer in the Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw, but he kind of got reinstated by the Dodgers today.
I did. So, yes, suspension officially ended. He's officially allowed to play again. Probably kick, right?
And this is play? Not anything about his ability, right? Because,
sure,
you know, he has missed the last, like, 2 years. He could still be really good. Would you keep him or kick him from the league? And just as a person, essentially.
I mean, kick, right?
I would kick, too.
The guy's a scumbag. He's already not been playing. Why are you bringing him back in? Just call it good. It is weird at this point bringing him back. Like, you might as well just call it a career ban. Like, just say this guy's a piece of shit. Like, he should not be in our league. So bye.
Well, this had to get done for Bauer to keep his money, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but who makes that decision? It's not like we're not allowing Bauer to bring himself back into the league. You know, like.
No, but he doesn't have to be back in the league, but the Dodgers will have to pay out the rest of his contract this way.
Crazy.
All right. I will, since King's not come, did you see the whole story about the Chiefsaholic super fan that
I did?
I was going to say, if you want to keep or kick that guy, he robs banks and he wears a wolf costume to the Chiefs game. Will you keep him as a fan or not?
So he robs banks to pay for tickets.
Yes.
So the wolf costume, like, does anybody ever see his face or anything? It's just a wolf costume?
I think he just, yeah, he has like a wolf head on the whole time. I didn't even know a picture of what he actually looks like. Just.
Does he wear the wolf costume when he robs banks?
He did. That's the still I saw it. He had the wolf head on when he was robbing the bank.
So that's how they caught him?
I believe so.
That's incredible. I'm keeping him as one of my fans. Absolutely.
You need those kind of fans. That's how much he loves the team that he's going to hold up banks to keep going to games.
Yo, that's ingenuity is what that is. I need that on fan base. So good.
All right.
WCP says keep that dude for sure. I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
There's a lot of douchebag, like, super fans. He's one of the good ones.
Give me this. Give me.
He heard nobody on banks.
We saw him tonight. Like, give me Robin Banks over JETS Jets guy.
Oh, the fireman.
Fucking old fireman. Like, get out of here.
You know,
Jets are terrible. You're terrible. Fucking leave. Give me Banks.
I was going to bring up, there's multiple Chief super fans, and they came to blows. Two of the super fans did as well. Even better of a story. I think this guy was involved as well. The Wolfman head.
That's my love kind of scumbags right there.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's King's guy. King would love this guy too. I'm gonna assume he would keep him as well.
They gotta make a movie about that, man. Like fictionalize it a little bit. You gotta like make the story fun. Well, but turn this story into the town. That's what I want.
I mean,
I want gritty wolf bank robbing.
It was basically the plot of Point Break. Instead of Chiefs games, it was Shredding Waves, man. All right. Last one. Keeper kick with this ice storm right now and winter upon us. Keeper kick having fire season or like a true winter season?
So it's like a would you rather?
Essentially, yeah.
So fire season or true, like icy blizzard winter. I think icy blizzard winter. Like, so icy wizard blinter icy blizzard winter affects me more personally because I can't drive around right now. But I feel like for the betterment of Oregon, I feel like choosing fire would be kind of a dick thing to say. I don't know.
I know. I think King would be on the side of fire.
Booble also says keep fire. Man, you guys. Yeah, okay. All right.
I would go with the winter. Ice is different. Ice is bullshit. But snow is not bad. I can deal with snow. And, you know, sub-freezing temps. Just lay around.
Now, did I just guilt you into saying that? That's
no, that's how I would roll.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right. That's the last one.
By the way, King texted us. He's officially out for the rest of the pod. I'm glad we got him in for some of it. So, we're good. Shall we do our list? I mean, we could talk about Dame becoming the all-time Blazers leading scorer. I don't know that there's that much to say about it, really. He's the best Blazer ever. Like,
I mean, yeah, he's been playing long enough for the team. I mean, it's a longevity thing with his team record.
Oh, so Dame's a compiler, is your statement.
Oh, I would love to look at the game. Well, no, he had to play way less games than Clyde, who he passed. So,
yeah.
No, I would not say he's a compiler.
Okay. Booble says, liking snow is like having Matt Ryan as a quarterback. It sucks. Wow. Wow. By the way, I forgot to mention it at the top of the pod again. The movie this week is Bullet Train. So listen to us talk about Bullet Train on Sunday. Brad Pitt, it's on Netflix. It's a train. They're on it.
It's a bullet train. Goes fast.
Bullet train. Goes really fast. There's some assassins on it. Made by the John Wick guy. You should watch it. It's great. No spoilers. I haven't actually seen it yet. I'm going to watch it, and then we're going to talk about it on Sunday, which is Christmas Day. We're definitely going to talk about it and then release the podcast on Christmas Day. That's what we're going to do. All right, let's do our list then. Let's close this out. So, Booble, you actually came up with this list, so we're gonna do your list idea, which is overrated Christmas traditions. And so we have both.
Tell us more lists.
We have both.
By the way,
we have both of you guys. Yeah. By the way, tell us more lists because us coming up with lists every week is a struggle. So we have both of you guys. We have the two of you in the chat right now. So tell us a few if you want us to.
Wait, we lost that new guy with the crazy name.
Yeah. We lost Captain Crank My Hog. He's no longer in the chat. Let's see, who is the other guy? We had Captain Crank My Hog and Dr. Devious, 00. Ooh. Yeah. He was talking about having to take a poop or something like that. It was, I forget what was going on here, but let's see. He says, guys, I'm on a bus right now, and I'm about to explode diarrhea all over the seat. What do I do? Man, we forgot to tell him. Oh, well.
Oh,
you just got to
shit your pants.
You just got to go, man. You just got to shit your pants. You just got to do it.
Yep.
I mean, you're on a bus. It's not like a new thing on a bus. Okay, so Booble says his number three is decorating. It's an interesting take.
Yeah. Yeah, decorating does stuff.
Yeah, WCP says caroling.
I don't know if I've ever seen a caroler, by the way.
Never seen a caroler, never been caroling. But that brings me to my number three, which is Christmas music in general.
Ooh.
Christmas music is butt. Like, it's not good.
Yes.
The Mariah Carey song sucks. Like, people talk about it every year. It's not good. The fucking, is it the Beatles? The Simply Heaven. It's like Paul McCartney does that, right? But it's not like the actual Beatles, is it?
It
fucking sucks. Like, Christmas music sucks. Always has, always will.
Give me the old Bing Crosby Christmas music where he's just wasted. Ready to go, beat the shit out of his kid. I'll piggyback your number three.
Okay.
Watching Christmas movies.
Ooh.
Christmas movies fucking suck. Home Alone, it's not great. All the Santa Claus movies. Santa Claus Involved, it's not great. Even though I have yet to see that one. What was it? The Mel Gibson one. where he's Santa Claus.
I'll say this. Christmas Vacation is overrated.
It's the worst. I'll even take Euro Vacation over Christmas Vacation.
I don't like it. I think The Ref is a good Christmas movie. I like The Ref. Dennis Leary. I think that's fine. So Die Hard is fine if we're calling it a Christmas movie, but
yeah.
Violent Night.
Violent Night.
Yeah. That's what Booble says. He said it's fantastic. May have to watch it. Yeah, I've heard very good things. Probably should have been the movie we watched this week, but we didn't. We watched Bullet Train. So shut the fuck up about it. Booble's number two is White Christmas. So is that like the...
No. Snow?
Yeah, is that snow? Or is that like the song White Christmas?
Cocaine? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, because that could make it for a pretty fun Christmas, Booble. No. I mean, don't knock it till you try it. Number two for WCP is Candy Canes.
I'll piggyback that. Gingerbread men or houses. Gingerbread cookies suck.
Why does gingerbread exist?
Because that's what they had in like the aughts. Again, that was their best treat.
Again, it's one of the things that exists only for Christmas. That is just butt. There's a reason it doesn't exist outside of Christmas. It's because it's not good.
Not good.
Will says he's very pro cocaine.
Not good.
Cocaine.
I believe we are. I would say we would probably lean pro cocaine podcast here.
That's amazing. Yeah, there's one thing you know about this podcast: very right leaning and very pro cocaine. All right, that's it. Those are the only two attributes. Yeah. My number two is driving around and looking at Christmas lights. So, like, Christmas lights in front of your house, like, I get it. It's fun. It's like you have it up for a month or whatever, and it's great. I enjoy them. I enjoy lights on my Christmas tree, whatever. But, like, the act of, like, driving to the Oregon Zoo or driving around the big, rich neighborhoods to look at Christmas lights, it's boring as shit. I've tried to do that with my child many years, and just, like, it's a no-go. It's like, I don't care. Like, Christmas lights are Christmas lights. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I also don't care. And I don't think I ever have. Because it's boring. Why am I outside in the cold looking at somebody else's lights? Like, they're not that cool.
I feel like we might be in the wrong area for it. But there are probably places in the country where, you know, it's like five blocks that every house has it. And, you know, they set up like, little hot cocoa stands and, you know, other stuff to do. No, it's not. And it's usually cold and wet out.
Always. Yeah. All right. So to our number ones, let's see. Booble says Santa is his number one. Wow. I like that.
Big anti-Santa guy over here.
I like that. That's a big take. WCP says WCP says number one is gingerbread houses. Yeah. So again.
Yeah. Yeah. He was right on.
Wow.
I bet Booble sounds like he's a very pro Krampus kind of guy.
if he's pro cocaine, he's pro Krampus.
Well, I'm sure Krampus just fucking hoovers blow. That's for sure.
Booble says he dislikes Christmas in general. Fully understand it's probably different if you have kids. Not really. I mean, buying presents for your kid is fun. Like, I like buying video games for my kid and stuff like that. It's fun. But it's like, if you don't like something, the kid's not going to change it. Like, and by the way, your entire role as a parent is to brainwash your kid into everything you believe as well. So if you don't like something, you can.
All right. Well, here's a question for you, because I do not have kids. I hate Halloween. Does Halloween get better with kids? Like, just taking them out trick or treating make it good? No.
No. Not at all. No, I don't really care about Halloween either. Like, but I'll, like, this year I went. I don't go with my kid every year. It's my kid's mom's deal. Like, mom really likes,
that's her holiday.
Really likes Halloween. And so goes out or whatever. So I went out with them this year and it was like, it's fine. It's hanging out, I guess, and it's usually raining too, so it's like, I mean, walking out in the rain, getting candy. You do get to steal some of your kids' candy, which is good. I mean, I guess, but I can just go to the store and buy candy.
Yeah, so you just go purchase your own candy.
Yeah.
I think you get fooled by the movies where it's like perfect weather out and you're walking. You got like little like drinks cart with you, and you got like your neighborhood dad wasted.
Yeah, like Halloween's cool if you're a shit starting teenager, where you like egg people's houses, you TP somebody.
Well, late teens, early 20s was good because it usually meant getting wasted at parties with scantily clad ladies around. So
there's a window when Halloween is cool. It's like from 16 to 26, maybe. We'll say that.
I would say it's like 4 to like 10. Yeah. It's great.
4 to 10.
Then you have like a six-year, seven-year gap there where it's like not cool. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, booze is involved now and, you know, fucking with shit.
Yep.
I don't know. I never liked it. I always took the cop out. I always went like as Belichick. Just wear a hoodie. Like sweatpants.
Yeah, Booble mentions the retail thing for Christmas too. Yeah, if you work in retail, you hate this shit. It's a nightmare. Yeah. But,
all right, here's a maybe controversial to some.
Did you do your one?
No. Okay. No, my number one, attending church.
Yeah.
I never did it, but it doesn't seem cool. It seems long as shit. That and Easter.
Yeah, I think I've told the story before, like a few times on this pod. Like the one time I went to church with my family, and we all walked in and then did the Homer thing and walked back out.
Yeah,
it's like this is not for us. Church is not for me. So yeah, the religious part of it is sort of annoying.
Like, and a piggyback, you know, there's people like you're like, oh yeah, you go once or twice a year, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah,
that's it.
And that builds into the horrible Christmas music part too. Because there's a lot of super religious Christmas music that is the absolute worst. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
That was my number one. My number one is Elf on a Shelf. That's stupid. And I hate it. And I hate that, like, people do it. And I remember when I first saw it, I was like, that's a dumb idea. Where did that come from? Why are people putting an elf on a different place every day? And is it fun? Like, their kids like that? I don't think they should like that.
Well, here's a funny thing I just found out recently. In Canada, there is something called Little Santa Day, and it's on like December like 10th or 12th or something like that. And what you do is you put out like a boot or like a plate.
Put out a boot, like, there, eh?
Yeah, you put out a boot, and you get a present on it or in it in the morning.
Okay, so tell me what happens again. You put a boot out?
Or a plate, or just a plate.
Like where?
I don't know, outside your room or in your living room or just out there. I don't know if you put something on it to, like, for a trade-off from Little Santa, but yeah, that's a thing.
You put a boot out and then somebody puts something in the boot? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, you put something in the boot.
Like just a gift, like.
Just a little gift.
So who puts the thing in the boot?
Little Santa does. I don't know who Little Santa is.
Okay. I get it. But like, does a kid put the boot out and then a parent puts a present in the boot? Is that what happens?
Yes, that's what happens. Yeah.
That's fucking great. Oh my god. Oh yeah, WCP. He's changing his number one to nativity scenes. Yeah.
Well, that goes along with church in general.
Yeah. All right, is that it? I think we're done. You got anything else?
Yeah. No.
All right, well, if you're watching this, thank you to the two of you. Merry Christmas, guys, even though you don't like Christmas. If you're listening to this, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday season. Stay safe. It's icy. Don't drive around. Just listen to podcasts like us. And again, the movie one, I guess I'm going to release that on Christmas. if cat's out of the bag, we don't record it on Christmas, but I guess I'm just going to release that sometime on Christmas morning. That'll be interesting. Okay. So again, thank you for watching, twitch.tv/abrog87. We're on all the podcast things, the sports brewery. We're also YouTube. Search YouTube if you want to watch the replay. I actually edit it down a little bit and make it more, I cut out the what is going to be a 20-minute intro with nothing today as we were waiting to see if King was going to be able to join us. But thanks for everything. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.